We're going to go to the word of the Lord this morning. Amen. As you can tell, if you're here today to hear Pastor Urson, I am not Pastor Urson. He's taller than I am. That was a joke, y'all. Amen. So on behalf of Pastor Urson, amen, we greet everybody that's in the house of the Lord today. Thank you to all of our guests that are here today, because I have two special guests that are here today. Amen. So I want to say thank you to all of our guests that are here today. We appreciate you joining us. Amen. Glory. Amen. To you all that are viewing online, amen, on behalf of Pastor Urson, amen, and our ministry here, we want to thank you all for joining us today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. 1 through 6, we're going to begin to read there many portions of Scripture. We're going to deal with a subject here tonight that's going to help us to understand that God's presence and power in the earth today and in our lives, it is intentional. Everybody say intentional. Amen. Everything that God desires to do, amen, through us will be done, amen, as we surrender to Him. But it's important for us to realize that there is a method that right now we are in the process of experiencing so that we may know what's in us, so that God may know what's in us, and so that our community and our world may know what God's intending to do in their lives. Everybody said amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in, and everybody say, possess the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers, that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord God, thy God, has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice this here, to humble thee, and what else? To prove thee. Everybody say, to prove thee. And I could actually stop right there and deal with the word prove, which we're going to deal with in a majority of our conversation tonight, our teaching tonight. We're going to deal with that word prove. But notice why the Lord led them. Notice why they were able to experience what they experienced, and the purpose behind it, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep the commandments or no, and to do what else? Y'all got a little quiet with that one. And to humble thee, and to suffer thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, and neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. That thou should consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and to what? Everybody say, walk in his ways. Now, this is a challenge for us. This is a challenge for us for where we're going tonight. This is not a disciplinary type of message or teaching tonight. This is not a correction type of message tonight, but this is an empowering message tonight, because when we walk in his ways, we get the results of what his ways will bring. Glory, glory, amen. So we're going to talk tonight, and it's simple up on the line of God's method of proving his people. God's method of proving his people. How many of y'all have children? Have children. Amen. A lot of people. A lot of y'all got children. Got children. How many of us know that you do not assign certain household responsibilities or chores to a two-year-old? We do not for the sole purpose, I have children, I have four girls. We do not for the sole purpose is that we know that child is not able to handle a task that is actually designed for an older child. So although we are God's chosen people who serve and love him, God will nevertheless prove our devotion, our profession of faith, and testimony alone does not completely validate our sincerity before God. And as much as we enjoy it, let me tell you something, I'm a worshiper. And I look out among us and I can see a lot of worshipers. And they're worshipers, and sometimes we hinge our validity, we hinge our approval on our worship. And sometimes we even have the tendency to hinge God's approval upon our presence in the house of God. Sometimes we have the tendency to hinge our God's approval, amen, on what we do in the kingdom. And sometimes that alone does not really define the basis of the purpose of God proving us or allowing us to experience certain things so that he can bring out the best in us for his glory. Let me say that again. So that he can bring out the best in us for his glory. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell the person, you haven't seen all that God's going to use you to do. Whoo, my Lord. I wish you would say that to that person with a revival spirit, that you have not seen all that God's going to use you to do. Somebody say, slow down, Fazel, because I'm about to run right now. Thank you, Jesus. Some of these things are well and good, yet God will often subject us to a time of testing to prove our dedication to him, our faithfulness to him, and our approval of him. Divine approval comes to the proven saint who stands every test and excel in faithfulness during that time of testing. And I'm trying not to jump to where I want to get right now because I'm just feeling a lot of excitement here tonight for what we experienced last night in a Zoom Bible study. Almost every product, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I remember Pastor Sizemore teaching on this and using this particular example a time or two. But almost every product that you and I put our hands on in society, out of grocery stores and various things, they go through a time of what we would call testing. Evaluation in order to understand or in order so that we understand that this product will serve as an example, this product will fulfill the thing that it has been designed to do. It would do that. That Ford F-150 of mine, 2024 White Lariat, right? Four door out there sitting in the parking lot right now, right? All the interior design, all the upgrades and everything. Don't you know that Ford 150 that's sitting in the parking lot right now, that white four-door Lariat 2024, don't you know it just did not arrive in my hand? Now, when you get out in the parking lot, just know that I do not actually have a Ford F-150 sitting out there. I just want to put it in the atmosphere. But that vehicle, that computer, that product, that medicine, it goes through a time of evaluation, performance, to find out whether or not that it is going to be something that's going to be valuable to the market. Underwriters and laboratories place their seal of approval on products that have been tested. Everybody say tested. And only after they meet the expectations, they meet the specifications that was set by a standard of that market, then and only then are they put out to be used for consumption or to be used by consumers or the average person or average American, okay? Or whoever. The purpose of any type of testing, whether they are material things or people, is to determine, everybody say, its performance durability. Man, this is a lot of terms in here, but what does durability look like for a product? Now I've learned this when I used to teach navigational systems for the Army. I did so for like 8 years. I shared this with you, travel around the world doing this. And one of the things that I've learned that batteries coming off the market or coming out of the store does not always hold their charge. Many of us that have kids and got up on Christmas mornings and we're putting together that little Tonka truck or we're putting together that little racetrack and putting those batteries in there only to squeeze that trigger or that mechanism that is designed to make it go, only to find out that it's not working. And the reason it's not working because batteries have a tendency to lose their charge. And so that battery is something that needs to be taken into consideration or to be looked at because it doesn't always represent the thing that it is designed to do. It does not always do that. So whether it's material, people, to determine the durability, its limitations, or its usefulness, those who fall under a time of testing, who fail under a time of testing, receive no seal of approval. Now, we as believers are not exempt from a time of testing. We as believers are not exempt from a time of testing. And the purpose of our testing, the Bible tells us in James, right, is that, for us not to be so surprised, the scripture tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Everybody say patience. Now, why are we talking about this tonight? There is something that the Lord is desiring to release in us that we need to understand, that the encounters that we're having in our community, the encounters that we're having on our job, the encounters that we're having in the marketplaces, the encounters that we're having in our neighborhood are purposely designed by God so that we would know what God has placed within us. Oh, hallelujah, so that we would know what God has placed within us. Now, the purpose the Bible tells us of Israel, by the scripture we read, was to humble them, to prove them, to know what was in their heart, and to know whether they would keep the commandments of God, and to make them to know that man does not live by bread alone. How many understand and appreciate pressure? I don't know if y'all saw that, but nobody's hand went up. You know why? None of us appreciates pressure. None of us like unnecessary pressure. Can I give you an example of pressure? First of the month rolling around. And here it is now, rent's due. And you know you're gonna be short. Guess what that's called? Pressure. Here you are, perhaps maybe in school, right? And you know that final's rolling around, and you know, we went through good college practices, how to prepare for exams and all that, and you thought that you had retained so much of it, you decided to cram the night before. Guess what that's called? It's called pressure. And none of us like pressure in and of itself, because we know that it could be avoided. But pressure has a purpose of revealing what we are capable of. Pressure has a way of revealing the thing that is harboring on the inside of us. I used to play, you won't believe it right now. Actually, you may believe it. I used to play a sport called football some time ago. And I was decent at it, okay? But our coaches had a way of pushing us, right, to run faster than we've ever run. Our coaches had a way of pushing us to lift more weights than we've ever lifted, right? And do the things that, you know, athletes do to perform at their very best. And what they were doing in that process, they were putting pressure on us so that they could get out of us that optimum performance so that we could win the race or the game that we were tasked at doing. And I'm going to tell you something. I learned a lot about pressure. Just like you learn a lot about pressure. Pressure will make you pray. Pressure will make you pray. You better believe it will. But pressure has a way of taking us as believers into the presence of God so that we would know and God would know that I am dependent upon you and not myself. Whoo. Why is that so important? It is important because a task that we are involved in right now in this last day, God is wanting us to understand that the pressure that you and I are experiencing as Bible-believing believers, as Bible believers followers of Christ, that pressure is designed to bring out the optimum performance in our prayers, bring out the optimum performance in our witnessing, bring out the optimum performance in the healing of our hands. Whoo, come on, somebody. Bring out the optimum performance in those that we're talking to about God. Somebody say, God is wanting to maximize everything that he's placed within us in this last day. Amen. He's wanting to maximize it. In our vehicles that we drive, in that Ford One F-150 that's sitting out there in the parking lot, white 2024, Lariat, right? Hatchback, cover in the back, you know. That Lariat has something in its dashboard. And every one of us have in our cars. And it's something called a cruise control. And let me tell you something, we love those cruise controls. We love those cruise controls. Can I tell you why we love those cruise controls? They spoil us. They spoil us. We set that thing at 85, man, and we just roll. And we just roll. We often have a tendency to live our lives as believers on cruise. We were teaching, we're in week three today, or this coming week here. We're not meeting this Saturday because of an Easter extravaganza, but we're coming up on week three in our home Bible study certification course. And we shared something in week one that really made me reflect on why we're teaching the way that we're teaching. And there were seven of us initially in the class, Pastor Sizemore. And it just dawned on me that if the seven of us that were in class that Saturday, if we did what the scripture says for us to do, for instance, in Acts, I believe it's chapter 2, somewhere around verse 46, it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." If we for the next, and just in the seven that were in that class, if we for the next seven days, encounter somebody in a Christ-centered conversation, encounter somebody and begin to share the gospel with them, and did not end that day for the next 7 days until we got a yes from somebody, what would our city look like if only seven of us did it? What would our homes look like, our communities look like, if seven of us, just seven of us, for the next 7 days, did not stop until somebody said yes to Jesus? What would our world look like if the Christian community, glory, begin to walk out the promises of God and did not end their day until they got a yes from somebody? And I'm not talking about a yes, I'm coming to church. I'm not talking about a yes, I hear what you're saying. I'm talking about a yes where that person is repenting of their sins. Yes, where that person is coming to be baptized in Jesus' name. And yes, where we're praying that person through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, wherever we are. Who? Because our world is requiring it. And so here we are, we're seeing what it's like to live the believer's life. One of the things about pressure, about times of testing, it does something for us. Testing removes the insincere. Testing removes the hypocrite. Testing removes the laziness that may be on our spirit. Testing removes and reveals the weak. And testing removes the doubt that may be in our heart. Testing does that. It accomplished something in us. It removed those things. Now, here's the thing. We do not know how the Lord is going to use us or all that he intends to do and will do. But I promise you what he is going to do is going to cause us to realize that God is at work in our lives. John chapter 14, verse 12, it says this here. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," we talked about this last night, "as believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do" what? Everybody say also. "And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." That word "greater" there is a word that says, is defined in the Greek as megas, where we hear the word mega. Everybody say mega. So how are you and I as human beings are going to do greater works than what the Lord does and what the Lord did? How is that going to be accomplished? How can you and I, as finite individuals, accomplish greater works than what the Lord did in his ministry on the earth? I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them, that's a very good question. I'm so glad you asked. The way that is accomplished by us realizing that our dependency is upon the Lord. The way that can be accomplished is for us to begin to walk in his ways and fulfill the gospel and share the gospel with those that are desiring and those that the Lord is leading us to. John chapter 7, verse 38 uses the same word, believe. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of, everybody say, living waters. Living waters are going to flow out of those that believe. Everybody say, those that believe. Why is that so important? In the process of God proving us, God is also in the process of using us. In the process of God proving us, God is also in the process of using us. Now, how is God using us? God is using us in so many ways. If we were to stop and to testify around this room right now, I'm looking at things that every one of us at some junction in our Christian experience have been able to touch somebody's life and was able to be used by God in that process, okay? So what does that word believe mean? In Mark chapter 16, verse 16 through 17, it reads this. It says, he that believeth and is baptized, everybody say believeth, and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And these signs shall follow them that what? Y'all know that scripture, that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils and they shall do what? Now here's the thing. Signs are going to follow who? Signs are going to follow the believer. It's interesting here. It didn't say signs following the apostle. It didn't say signs following the evangelist. It didn't say signs following the pastor, following the prophet, following the teacher. It says signs follow the who. Now that means this for me and for you, right? That there is something that I should be seeing because I'm a believer. Whoo! There should be something I should be seeing because I am a believer. Now how can I make that happen? How can I see the signs that God said is going to follow me as a believer? One of the things I'm so encouraged about is that none of us need a title, need a diploma, need a degree, need a certification to be used by God. None of us need validity from another human being, from an entity, from an organization to be used by God. The thing that we need to understand is that I just simply need to believe God for everything that he said in his word that he wants to do. Some time ago, and I'll share this with you, we were heading to Texas a couple years ago. And en route to go to Texas, a church over in Hamilton, Ohio, a Christ Tabernacle Apostolic Church, which we're friends with, they had a member there who had a brother that lived in Dayton, Ohio, which coincidentally we live in Dayton. And they asked if I would be willing to teach him a Bible study. This brother wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, and they asked if I would be willing to teach him a Bible study. And I said, man, I said, he wants the Holy Ghost? You better believe, absolutely, I'm going to teach him a Bible study. Man, so we made an arrangement with a pastor across town, Pastor Scott Logan, another apostolic church over in Trotwood, Ohio, made arrangements to use their conference room. He gave us permission. And so the brother didn't just want to receive the Bible study, but his sisters wanted to come and see him receive the Holy Ghost. So two of his sisters came to the Bible study to see him. Not only did two of his sisters came, his brother came and his brother's wife came to see this man, 70 something years old, receive the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you this, when we sat in our conference room, there was such an anticipation, there was such a great expectation, we almost didn't get halfway through the Bible study before this brother started speaking in tongues. That expectation to receive the promise of God was that strong upon his life. Here's what happened. We taught the Bible study. At the end of the Bible study, asked him a question. Do you believe that God can fill you with the Holy Ghost? He said, yes. I said, are you willing to repent of your sins? He said, yes. We prayed a prayer of repentance, barely finished it. I said, lift your hands and begin to worship. He lifted his hands and began to worship. 30 seconds or less, he was speaking in other tongues. He was speaking in other tongues. Oh, yes, he was. As the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Now, he had just had hip replacement, and I said to him, I said, brother, listen, I said, man, you've already received the Holy Ghost, and I'm looking at two ladies right here that just had a wonderful time in God last night on Zoom. Come on, y'all raise your hand, let them see you, because God bless y'all last night on Zoom. I'm going to testify. Amen. Filled them with the Holy Ghost, renewed them in the Holy Ghost last night. Amen. Amen. On Zoom. I'm testifying early, but I got to talk about what God did for us. Woo. Amen. So we're walking up to the baptistry. And his sister asked me, who, the sister that came to see him receive the Holy Ghost and saw him receive the Holy Ghost. His sister asked me, Brother Fazell, how important is Jesus' name baptism? I said, hold on, sis. I had my Bible and, you know, some of the scriptures you memorize, and we begin to talk about how there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That the only method in the Bible, whenever somebody was baptized, submerged in water, was in the name of Jesus. We started quoting scripture, how the Bible tells in Luke 47:7, that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. When we got up to baptize him, somebody, one of the sisters, took her down to the room to get her change, and after we baptized him, just like you, Brother Jamie, the other night, your wife posted, we baptized her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of her sins. Watch this now. There is no difference. I like how Jonathan and his armor bearer said this. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer went up against the Philistines. And the Bible tells us that Jonathan said this. He said that if they say this to us, we're going to remain where we are. But if they say this, we're going to go over to them and we're going to expose ourselves to them. And here's what he said. He says, for there is no restraint of the Lord to save by many or by few. And they went up there, and you know the story. They whipped 20 Philistines. How would you like those odds? Come on, we're going to go to the east side of Cincinnati now. Just you and I, let's tackle 20 people. How many want those odds? I don't see nobody volunteering. I'm kind of curious about that. Your hands. Thank you, Sister Marlo. God gave them the victory because they trusted that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. We come back from Texas. We stop in Clarksville, Tennessee to visit Pastor Ellis. And Pastor Ellis, that weekend I was there. Now, typically I like going there because I don't want to be asked to preach. I don't want to be asked to teach. And I go there kind of unprepared, just kind of casually dressed. And he says, how about you preach today? And I said, okay, I don't even remember what I preached, to be honest with you. But I will tell you this, that there was a young lady there in the audience. And afterwards, during the altar call, she came to the altar. And let me tell you what the Lord did. The Lord filled this young lady with the Holy Ghost. Right? Filled her with the Holy Ghost. And so they baptized her in Jesus' name. And then she says, Can I talk? She wanted to testify. Just had the Holy Ghost, just baptized in Jesus' name. And the minister there was about to give her the mic. She just got the Holy Ghost. She just was baptized. There's no telling what she's about to say. And her back is to me, and he's looking dead at me. And I'm like, no. Don't do it. Gave her the mic, and her testimony was this. When she was sitting in the audience, the devil kept making her sick, and the devil kept telling her, get up and leave. Get up and leave. She said, but God said, stay. This was her words. God said, stay. And she said she attempted to commit suicide 16 times. Been in and out of psychological wards. She said, but God just delivered her from all those voices. She said she can't hear the voices anymore. God just delivered her from all those demons. She said she can't hear anything anymore. Why? Because of one person. God's power manifesting, whoo, in this woman's life. Glory, glory. I wish Sister Betty Jones, I don't see her here tonight. I wish she was here tonight. Some years ago, Sister Betty Jones and I, Sister Betty Jones brought a lady from her job. She had been witnessing to her, talking to her, Amen. And we started teaching the Bible studies. She was attending, where's Brother Rodriguez at? I saw him. She was attending our discipleship course, but she hadn't been baptized. She hadn't been baptized, had not received the Holy Ghost. And so this particular Sunday, we had an evangelist in, I believe it was Dylan Morgan, one of the you know, phenomenal people that Pastor brings through here, and preached a phenomenal message. So I saw Sister Betty, and this is in the chapel, I saw Sister Betty praying with her, and I went over and I joined them. And you know, when you're going to pray with somebody who wants the Holy Ghost, you need to know how to pray with somebody to receive the Holy Ghost. Because a lot of us waiting for some preacher or teacher, and let me tell you something, you have the ability to pray them through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me take my glasses off and look out there. These lights are bright. Let me say that again. We have the ability, through the help of the Lord, to pray them through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't need to be in church. They don't need to be at an altar. Come on now. We have the power, through the help of God, to pray them through to the Holy Ghost. So here it is now. We begin to minister to her. And I don't know what she was dealing with. I may know some things, but I can't tell it all, right? And so here's what she did in this process. She said this as we're counseling with her about repentance and everything. She says, okay, wait a minute. She sat down. She says, give me a second. She sat down. Whatever a minute was later that went by, whatever she had to resolve in herself, she resolved in herself. And she says, okay, now I'm ready. She lifted up her hands, began to worship. Less than 60 seconds, she was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. So I'm like, man, of all the times, and I don't see him, but all the times for Brother Rodriguez to be up in Wisconsin, he was in Wisconsin that weekend. I said, why today? Why today? Because he had worked here, Sister Rodriguez had worked with her a lot. We took her up and baptized her in Jesus' name. About a year or so later, she contacted me and said, hey, would you be interested in teaching a friend of mine a Bible study? And let me tell you something, I don't refuse Bible studies. And it's just, it's a crutch of my life, right? But I love teaching the Word of God, and you should too. So I said, well, where does it stand? He lived over in Fairborn. I got him on the phone, and we're talking, introduced myself to him. And I'm trying to discern what he's needing. Because the reason when we're talking with somebody or having a Christ-centered conversation, the reason we do is to discern hunger and spiritual maturity and find out how much biblical knowledge that they have. That's the purpose of our Christ-centered conversations, to see where they are. And so we found out that he was in need of salvation. So we taught a lesson called Salvation Made Simple. Lesson one is on the parable of the sower. Lesson two is on the Holy Ghost. Lesson three is on the blood, the importance of water baptism. Lesson four is on the truth, who is Jesus Christ? Because the Bible tells us that if you do not know who Jesus Christ is, or you do not see him as a father, amen, you're going to die in your sins, according to Romans or John chapter 8. So we started that Bible study with him. After the end of that Bible study on the Holy Ghost, he came to church the next Sunday. Taught the Bible study on a Tuesday. He came to church that Sunday, and guess what happened? God filled that brother with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. One lesson on the Holy Ghost, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. We took him up and we baptized him, and so we started continuing on our Bible studies. And so one of the Bible studies, he says, hey, can we postpone our Bible study? I'm not able to meet today. I said, man, I said, you know, okay, that's okay, but what's going on? He says, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. The girlfriend had asked if I would teach him a Bible study. I said, man, this girl to trick me into winning her husband to the Lord. And it actually happened exactly like that. It happened exactly like that. Started teaching him a Bible study, doing marital counsel, and they're married today. They're married today. Why am I telling you that? Why am I saying that? I'm going to walk. I don't know where the camera is, and I'm going to leave everything up there in the pulpit, because I really feel that there is so much more for us to receive. I say that is because every last one of us are in such a divine position right now to see the hand of God do things in our lives, do things in our city that we have never seen ourselves be used by God in that way. Can I tell the whole truth? Sister Tracy, Sister Darling, can I tell the whole truth? So Sister Tracy, Sister Darlene, we just met. We just met. You think we were friends for a long time where I'm talking right now, but we just met. So Sister Beverly Hardy, she's not here today. Sister Beverly Hardy said, Brother Fazell, I have a guest. Can I bring them to the Home Bible Study Certification course last Saturday? I said, sure. So Sister Darlene, that's Tracy 2 right there. There's another Tracy that's not here. We got Tracy 1. Sister Darlene and Tracy 1 came to the Bible study, came to the certification course. So I'm mentioning some things concerning the Holy Ghost, concerning baptism in Jesus' name. And at the end of the lesson, they asked if they could go back and get lesson 1 of the certification course. And I said, sure, let's meet on Monday. We met on Monday, and at the end of Monday's lesson, we're talking, and Sister Darlene asked me about the Holy Ghost in tongues. And so I'm saying, as we're talking, I said, let's talk about it. I said, the Bible tells us, right, that when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, they will begin to speak in other tongues or other, help me out, languages, that's what tongues are, as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, right? And so I'm talking to them. We're talking and about how to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, in order for a person to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the first thing they've got to do is to, oh, no. You got to do something before you repent. You got to believe. Because believing is going to lead you to repentance. So we talked about it. Then we begin to pray a prayer of repentance because they came here tonight to receive the Holy Ghost. I said they came here tonight to receive the Holy Ghost. But they received it last night on Zoom. So what am I saying? Our availability to God, whoo, our faith in God, our belief in God, our trust in God is everything we need to be used of God. Right. It's everything we need to be used of God. I say that because in this class, one of the things that we talked about, and here's Brother Sylvester, Sister Keisha, they're in our class. And let me tell you something, Pastor. I don't know what missionary, what country these guys are going to be going into. I don't know what impact they're going to have on the world. I don't know what city they're going to turn upside down for Jesus. But I'm here to tell you right now that this couple right here, Etaboshahaya, Lalaboshaha, whoo, glory. Y'all are about to see things that y'all never saw before. Y'all are about to do things in the kingdom of God that y'all never saw yourself being done. Because God is going to use you. We learned in our certification course, I want you to hear me, right? That many of us, when we come to the kingdom of God, we receive the Holy Ghost. We experience full salvation. We're baptized in Jesus' name. But here's what happened. There's a zeal that resides in us. There's a desire to be used of God that resides on the inside of us. But then what happens, we wonder after a few weeks or a few months, what happened to the fire? Who? What happened to the fire that drove me to the altar to pray? What happened to the tears that used to roll down my face? What happened? How many of us has experienced that? Let's just be honest with ourselves. We've had times when fire was just all around us, but then there seemed to be a time when things just got so cold and so distant and we're longing for something in God only not to find it. Can I tell you what I believe that happened to a lot of believers is that we acclimate to a culture and not to the commission. We acclimate to a culture and not the commission. Here's what happens when a lot of us get with our friends that aren't teaching Bible studies. A lot of us get with our friends that are not inviting people to church. A lot of us get with our friends, and let me tell you something, we need friends. If you don't think you need a friend, I'm telling you right now, you need a friend. You don't need just any friend. You need a Holy Ghost filled friend. You need a friend that's on fire for God. You need a friend that's in love with Jesus Christ. I wish I had some help right now. You need a friend that knows the Word of God, trusts the Word of God. You need a friend that believes the Bible. You need a friend that goes to church. You don't need a casual Christian. You need a friend. I'm listening at this thing on social media the other day. And this lady, I'm not gonna call her name, and hopefully you and I did not see the same thing, because I'm sure enough gonna tell it right now. This lady and her husband was asked to take this church. The pastor was going to another city to take over ministry there, and they were asked to take this church. And this lady, who was about to be the first lady or the assistant, whatever she was gonna be, said this right here. Here's what she said. I'm not saying it. She said this. I hope they can handle me coming in there with my different color hair. I may want to wear it long one day. I may want to wear it short the next day. I hope they can handle me wearing tattoos, because I got tattoos. I hope they can handle me doing this. And here's what she said. Because God knew how I was when he saved me. That's what she said. God knew who I was when he saved me. I said to myself, you know, you begin to psychoanalyze a situation. We don't like to judge a situation, but we psychoanalyze it, right? We don't judge it, we psychoanalyze it, Brother Jordan. And in my process of psychoanalyzing this situation, I realized this lady never repented. Either she never repented, or she had never been discipled. Or she had acclimated to a culture instead of the commission. Because when we acclimate to a culture, we start to embody that environment. That's what happens. We start to embody that environment. But when we acclimate to the commission, we start to walk in his, everybody say, ways. We start to walk in his ways. So acclimating to the commission will have us at prayer of praying. Acclimating to the commission will have us reaching out to our neighbors. Acclimating to the commission will have us baptizing people in Jesus' name. Acclimating to the commission will have us walking in the ways of God, and we will find ourselves being used by him like we have never been used before. Here's what you and I are experiencing in this hour as believers. There is such a hunger in our community. I'm here to tell you right now, people are hungry for God. Last Sunday, we left church. The Sunday before last, we left church. After everybody talking about the extravaganza, pastor announcing the extravaganza, the volunteer meeting which took place this past Sunday. I got excited. I got me some of those extravaganza cards. I said, I'm going to find somebody that I'm going to invite to this Easter extravaganza. I stopped at a gas station. We needed to get something for Alyssa. She wasn't feeling well. And I talked to a lady by the name of Sierra. In fact, let me see. Is Sierra, are you here tonight? She said she was going to be here tonight. Talked to a lady by the name of Sierra. She says, I would like to come on Sundays, but I can't come because I'm always working. And so I'm walking away, got so excited about our conversation, I started to walk out of the store without even paying for the product that I just purchased. Got so excited about our conversation with God. And she says, hey, do y'all have church on Wednesdays? I said, we absolutely do. Walked back in there and gave her a card because I was excited, because I'm acclimated to the commission. When we're acclimated to the commission, something is being exemplified in our walk, something is being exemplified in our talk, something is being exemplified in our behavior, something is showing up in our communities. Woo! My. Why? Because when we start to be used by God, there is no telling what God is going to do. There is no telling what God is going to do. I love the fact that where we're going, and here's what I'm going to ask us to do. Let's stand right now. Many of the things that I shared, and many of the things that we have experienced as believers, the lives, the baptism, the change, those that have been baptized, those that have repented. I meant to say those that have repented, not lives, but those that have repented. The encounters that we have. Many of those situations, we found ourselves in proximity to somebody that wanted something from God. That's what brought that on. We found ourselves in proximity of somebody that wanted something something from the Lord. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Many of us that are here tonight that are going to be volunteering and have volunteered for the Easter Extravaganza this Saturday, we're going to be encountering people from all around our city, all around our community. And there are going to be those there that are wanting to have a relationship with God, that are wanting a change in life. And even though there's going to be Easter egg hunts and food's going to be passed out and there's going to be games and somebody's trying to talk me and putting on an Easter rabbit outfit, and I told them it's too small for me. And I'm just joking. Nobody asked me to do that. But we're going to have tons of fun. But I promise you this here, there's going to be somebody there that is wanting an encounter with God. That is wanting an encounter with God. Don't be so focused upon the games. Don't be so focused upon everything else. Do what you volunteer to do and do it as unto the Lord. But I want you to bow your heads now and I want you to begin to pray this prayer. I want you while you're praying to begin to ask the Lord to help you to have the sensitivity. Give me the sensitivity to those that are going to be on this property. Give me the sensitivity to those that are hungry for you. Give me the sensitivity to know those that are hurting on the inside and don't know how to say it. Give me the sensitivity to know those that are troubled in their mind and don't know how to ask for help. Give me the sensitivity to be able to touch and pray for somebody, God, who's wanting to feel you, who's wanting to know you, is wanting a better relationship with you. Give me the sensitivity that I might be used of you, Father, that I might be used of you in this hour. Gotta tell you this. Pastor Sizemore last year preached at that prison there in Kentucky and all the women received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We celebrate that, we praise God for that. Gotta tell you, he is doing what he did in that prison all over the world. All over the world. He is doing what he did in that prison all over the world. He did it in their lives last night. He is doing it all over our city. But what happens oftentimes, we dismiss our situation because it doesn't look churchy. Abba Shaha. We dismiss our situation because it doesn't sound like the four walls of this building. We dismiss that situation because it doesn't seem like people wanting, amen, what God is wanting them to have. So we focus so much upon the environment. We focus so much upon the activity. We focus so much upon on giving and toying and fellowship and having fun. We focus so much upon that as opposed to realizing God has brought me in proximity with somebody who wants to know him. Can we dismiss ourselves? Can't we dismiss ourselves from that aspect of our lives and realize no matter where I am, there's something that can happen to connect somebody with the Lord. That's what it's all about, Sister Sandy. That's what it's all about. How can I connect with somebody? How can I make the kingdom matter for somebody? How can I help somebody to see what God is wanting them to experience? How can I do that? I can do that by being committed to the commission. To the commission. It's a life that we live. It is a life that we live. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you as a people. We thank you as a church. We thank you, Lord God, as a congregation for allowing us, Father, to be in proximity to somebody, Father, that does not know you. To be in proximity to somebody, Lord God, who needs you and who's desiring a touch from you. We thank you, Lord God, for positioning us, Father, divinely ordering our steps, oh God, to connect with someone, Lord God, who is wanting to connect with you. Yes, 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 yes. Because if we connect with them, Father, we connect with their home. If we connect with the home, Father, we connect with their family. If we connect with the family, we connect with generations. If we connect with generations, we connect with the community. If we connect with the community, Father, we can connect with a nation, because we're in proximity to somebody who wants to connect with you. I'm going to ask that we do this. I'm going to open these altars. I believe the ushers have the, we'll be bringing a place down for an offering. But I'm going to open these altars that we can pray together. I want us to pray together because there are those of us here right now that are wanting to know how to do that. How do I connect with somebody that I'm in proximity to? And one of the things that hinders us the most is that four-letter word, which is fear. That four-letter word. We're afraid to pray. We're afraid to ask them, Sister Thelma, if they would like to pray. We're afraid of doing things like that. But can I tell you, the Bible tells us this in Acts 1:8, what's gonna happen? We shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. That power is the ability. So you know that God has given us the ability to overcome fear through the strength and the power of his word. Because he did not give us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm going to ask that you come. Please do at this time. If you're wanting to make an impact and touch somebody's life, if you're wanting to be available to God, if you're wanting to realize that I can be an instrument in God's hand, if you're wanting and you know that God can use you, that's right. I want you to come down. We're going to pray very specifically. We're going to pray very, very specifically here. Man, everybody here has the Holy Ghost. There's nobody here that does not have the Holy Ghost. You do not have the Holy Ghost. You're about to receive the Holy Ghost. You're about to receive the Holy Ghost. You're about to receive the Holy Ghost. Stay right there. You're about to receive the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Before we do that, come on down. Our world is going to look a lot different. Our community is going to look a lot different because of what is about to happen, because what we're about to experience, because how God is about to use us. Come on, it is never going to be the same. Yes, because how the Lord is going to use us. But we're going to pray a prayer of repentance right now. And I want you to join me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you right now, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. We're asking you right now, Lord, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Father. Take away every iniquity. Take away everything, Father, that's in us, God, that do not belong, Lord God. Every thought, Father. Every behavior, Lord God. Every bad attitude, God. The spirit of unforgiveness, Lord God. We're praying a prayer of repentance right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, forgive us, Father, from our wrongful ways. Forgive us, Father, of our wrongful thoughts. Forgive us, Father, of our bad behavior. Forgive us, Father, of the iniquity on the inside. Forgive us, Father, of the things that we've seen and should not have saw. Forgive us, Father, of the things we heard and should not have listened to. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our sins. Just begin to pray that prayer in your own way. Ask the Lord to forgive you. He's going to do everything else here in just a second. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Forgive me for not loving my brother. Forgive me for not loving my sister. Forgive me for not loving my fellow man. Forgive me for not showing compassion on those, Father. Forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to believe that the Lord has forgiven. I'm going to believe that the Lord has forgiven. Amen. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I need a sister or two to come over here with Sister Dally. Because this young lady right here is about to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I need maybe one or two sisters to come over here with her. because God's about to fill her with the Holy Ghost. And while this is happening, she needs the Holy Ghost too. Ooh, we got two that's about to receive the Holy Ghost. Shatabaha. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Rodney, but here's what I want us to do. I want a brother to join hands with a brother. I want a sister to join hands with a sister. And I want you to look them in the eye. And I want you to begin to ask them, where does your doubt lie? Do you believe that God can use you? Ask him that question. One-on-one, one brother with one brother, one sister with one sister. I want you to ask him, do you believe that God can use you? Do you believe that? Now I want you to ask him this very real question. Where does your doubt lie? Please hear me, please hear me. Where does your doubt lie? Because in all of us, there's a doubt that may be existing. In all of us, there's a resistance, a hindrance that may be existing. And we got to deal with that hindrance. We got to deal with that hindrance. We got to deal with that opposition. And I want you and I to understand something, that we fight a very real enemy that's cunning and crafty. And he likes to supplant doubts and fears and all those oppositions in our minds. But I want you to know the Bible tells us that greater is he that's within us than he was in the world. The hand that you're holding, I want you to pray for that brother. Look up, begin to pray for that brother. Come on, I release boldness, I release strength, I release power, I release sensitivity. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.